Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a clean jungle riser for a sunrise set in motion in Ableton Live 12, and we're keeping it intermediate, practical, and ready for real drum and bass arrangements. The goal here is not just to make something that goes up in pitch and gets louder. We want a riser that feels uplifting, tense, and breathable. Something that can carry you from a darker section into a hopeful breakdown, a pre-drop, or that final emotional lift right before the crowd opens up. In DNB, this matters a lot because your riser has to work with the tempo, the break rhythm, the sub, the res, and the phrasing of the track. If the transition is sloppy, the whole tune can feel looped together. If the transition is clean, the track suddenly feels intentional, polished, and ready for a proper set. So let's build this in a way that's fast, reusable, and very Ableton-friendly. Start by creating a dedicated track for the riser. You can name it something simple like Riser Sunrise. If you make transitions often, group it with your other FX tools. That's not just organization for the sake of it. That's workflow. It means you're not rebuilding the same emotional lift every time you start a new tune. Now think about placement before sound design. In drum and bass, the best risers usually land on a phrase boundary. That means 2 bars, 4 bars, or sometimes 8 bars depending on how big you want the moment to feel. For a sunrise-style lift, 4 bars is a really strong starting point. It gives enough time for anticipation without dragging. A classic arrangement move is to let the atmosphere breathe for a while, then start the riser, then add a tiny drum fill or snare pickup, and then drop on the next phrase. That way the listener feels the motion building before the impact lands. Now let's build the tonal layer. For the first layer, use a stock synth like Wavedable, Operator, or Analog. Keep the source simple and airy. You do not need a massive sound here. In fact, if the source is too huge, it will crowd the mix and steal space from the kick, snare, and bass. A good starting point is a saw or triangle bass tone with light unison, not a wide super saw wall. Filter it with a low pass or band pass, and keep the resonance moderate. You want motion, not screech. If you're in Wavedable, start with something sawish and keep the unison around 2 to 4 voices. Set the filter cutoff fairly low at the start, maybe somewhere around 300 to 800 Hz. Depending on the patch. Then automate that filter open over the length of the riser. This is a really important point. In drum and bass, the riser should usually feel controlled. We are not doing a giant festival EDM sweep here. We want a rise that feels emotional and clean, not overly obvious. That subtlety is what makes it feel more expensive. If you want a little more jungle character, you can tuck in a barely audible pitched noise or a textured breath under the tonal layer. Keep it low. It's just there to add personality. Now add the second layer. Clean noise for air and motion. Use Operator Noise, Wavedable Noise, or Analog's Noise Source. This layer gives you that top-end lift that translates well on club systems and headphones. It's the part of the riser that says, something is happening now. On this layer, place a Q8 first and high-pass aggressively so you're not muddying the low end. Then add Auto Filter for motion, Utility for control, and Reverb for space. A useful approach is to keep the high pass somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz, depending on how much body you want. If the source is already bright, don't overdo the reverb. Medium to large size is fine, with a decay around 2.5 to 6 seconds, but keep the wet signal restrained. Usually 10 to 25% is enough if the source is already airy. And here's a teacher tip. In DNB, the low end is sacred. Your riser should live mostly in the mids and highs so the kick, sub, and bass can stay powerful. That separation is what makes the build feel huge without making the mix collapse. Now let's shape the movement with automation. This is where the riser starts to feel designed rather than generic. Automate the filter cutoff upward across the phrase. Bring the reverb up a little toward the end. Widen only the upper layer if you want more stereo size. And let the volume rise gently, not in a big jump. A really solid parameter shape is to move the filter from around 500 Hz to somewhere between 8 and 12 kHz by the end. You can let utility gain rise a few dB over the full riser, maybe 2 to 5 dB. And if you want a bit more emotional lift, automate a subtle pitch rise on the tonal layer only. The key here is intention. Do not automate everything at the same speed. Let one parameter move slower than the others so the sound feels like it's breathing, not just sweeping through a preset. If the riser feels too obvious, back off on pitch automation and let the filter and texture do the work. In a lot of DNB, subtle movement actually sounds more professional. Now let's add a jungle-style rhythmic texture. This is the part that connects the clean sunrise emotion back to the genre. Add a very subtle break-derived element under the riser. It could be a chopped hat, a tiny brake slice, a delayed shaker, or a small rim hit pattern. You want a hint of motion, not a second drum loop competing with the main groove. A great Ableton workflow for this is to put a brake fragment into simpler, use slice mode or slice by transients, and then high pass it heavily with a Q8. You can even add a little beat repeat if you want a glitchy or jungle feel, but keep it understated. This layer should be short, tucked behind the tonal riser, and controlled. If it starts drawing attention away from the rise, it's too loud. Next, use reverb and delay as space design rather than wash. That's a big difference. The goal is not to drown the riser in fog. The goal is to create openness while keeping room for the drop. If you want global control, put reverb on a return track. If you want more motion in the tail, try echo after the tonal layer. Then use auto filter after the delay to keep the echoes from clouding the mix. A good starting point for echo is 1/8 or 1/16 dotted timing, with feedback around 10-25%. High pass the delay so the low end stays out of the way. For reverb, keep the low cut around 250-500 hertz and tame the highs if the top gets harsh. If the section is meant to feel huge and emotional, let the reverb bloom a bit more. If it's for a tighter roller switch up, keep the tail shorter and cleaner. Now glue the layers together. Group the riser tracks and use a light chain of stock devices on the group. This is where the whole thing becomes more usable in actual production. A simple group chain could be a Q8, glue compressor, saturator, and utility. Use a Q8 to cut a necessary low end, maybe with a high pass around 150-250 hertz. Use glue compressor gently, just enough to grab 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction at most. Add a touch of saturator for warmth, maybe 1-4 dB of drive. Then use utility for width and gain trim. Do not flatten the sound. The goal is unity, not compression for the sake of compression. If you're using a parallel reverb return, only send the top layers. Keep the whole track from turning into a wash. Now make sure the ending feels intentional. This is one of the most important parts of any riser. The best risers do not just stop, they release. You can end with a tiny reverse crash, a short snare pickup, a tape stop style fade, or even a tiny gap before the drop. That last little empty moment can hit hard in drum and bass, because the kick or bass note lands with more force after the tension disappears. This is especially effective in sunrise sets, where the crowd is already leaning into the emotional arc of the track. A clean release makes the arrival feel bigger. Once the riser works, resample it. This is a very useful intermediate workflow move. Route the riser group to an audio track, record the full pass, and then consolidate the best version. Now you can edit it faster, duplicate it, reverse parts of it, and reuse it in other arrangements. A lot of producers overlook this, but resampling gives you speed, and speed matters when you want to make a few different transition types for the same tune. You might want one version that's clean, one that's darker, one that's more emotional, and one that's more aggressive. Now, a few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't make the riser too loud. It should support the drop, not become the main event. Second, don't leave too much low end in the FX. High pass those layers. Keep the subspace clean. Third, don't drown it in reverb. A sunrise riser should feel spacious, not washed out. Fourth, don't ignore the groove. If the riser doesn't line up with the phrase, it'll feel pasted on. Fifth, don't overuse pitch automation. In DNB, filter movement and texture are often more effective than a giant obvious pitch sweep. And finally, don't widen the whole thing blindly. Keep the lower mids controlled. Widen the airy top layer if you want width, but keep mono compatibility solid. If you want to push this further, try a darker variation. Add a little saturator or pedal for grit. Keep the sub fully absent, and maybe use a chopped brake tick for rhythm, or make a two-stage riser. One layer opens slowly, and then a brighter layer comes in during the last quarter. That creates a really satisfying sense of arrival inside the build itself. For the best practice, build two versions in the same project. Make one clean sunrise lift with spacious top-end emotion. Make a second darker roller lift with less reverb, more pressure, and a tighter ending. Then test both in context with the drums and bass. Solo can lie to you. Arrangement tells the truth. Here's the big takeaway. A clean jungle riser in Ableton Live 12 should create emotion without cluttering the mix, support the phrasing of the track, and stay fast to build and easy to reuse. If you keep the source simple, the automation controlled, the low end clean, and the rhythm subtle, you'll get a riser that feels like it belongs in a real DNB set, polished, musical, and ready to lift the room into sunrise.